Rather mark your point.
Yeah, I just wanted to underscore one of the points that was made. And before you get into Judges, it talks about all the men in Joshua's day who had saw the hand of the Lord. That's what kept the people with a consciousness of who God is. It is when that whole generation passed away and the authority of God, the recognition of God's presence and his authority and his activity amongst them was now a faint memory, that you get into this condition in which now, the first time it was mentioned, idolatry is brought in, moral decline, and then physical decline. And what we have is this pattern repeated over and over again in history. And then what you get in the book of Romans is, it's really twofold. It is one, the deliberate denial of the knowledge of God, deliberately, that this is an act of will, that we willingly say, no God for us. That's the fool. And so in Romans 1, you get the idea that they hold the truth in unrighteousness. So it's not that we don't believe that God exists. We just don't want him to exist, because it brings his authority to be relevant in our circumstances. And so we deny it purposely. And it shows the true nature of our hearts. Now God calls out a people for himself, and he's expecting, and this is what you get in Samuel, that he's expecting that they would recognize his authority. He says, they have rejected me. In the rejection of God, there are dire consequences. And the dire consequences are first spiritual, then moral, and then they have physical impact upon us. It's just a very practical thing that you can see today. You can put your hands on this today. As more and more we witness the rejection and the removal of God from the consciousness, the consequences manifest themselves the same way we see here in Scripture.
And if I could add one more feature that's not mentioned here, but you see it in every occasion that there is a famine, is that the people of God become captive. They are taken into captivity. You made the contrast in chapter 14 of Genesis. One thing that was so clearly, that when these kings were mentioned, the next thing is Lot is taken captive. You see the contrast over there? One, that are very violent, that's against peace. And then the sick king of Sodom came to Abraham to give him a bribe. So he saw somebody believes in destruction, the other one is corruption, and he presents Melchizedek, the king of righteousness and the king of peace. But there's always the captivity. What happened to this family? They went to Moab. Right away, what happened to Abraham? Went down to Egypt. What happened to the people in the book of Judges? They were under the Midianites, and they were under this, and they were under the Canaanites, and they were under different group. Why? Because it's so easy when we don't get direction and submit to the authority of the king, the people of God will be taken into captivity. How could be famine in Bethlehem? The house, it's really a contradiction in some way. There is a famine in the house of bread. How could this occur, dear brother? I mean, it cannot be from God, definitely cannot be from God, but it is really those that have confidence in God. Despite the circumstances that was presented, Bill, I like the thought, that although people felt famine in the house of bread, Boaz, which his name means, in him there is strength, was a man of wealth. I mean, the scripture doesn't tell us that he became rich during these circumstances. All what he presents us with, that he was a man of wealth. So what's the difference? The difference is this. A family never lived up to what his name means. My God is king. Brethren, is it the same way with us Christians? We say that we are Christians. We love the Lord Jesus. And the thing that we lack is to submit to his authority. And this man, he says, my God is king. Well, if you are in the good of what your name means, you would have stayed. You would have stayed. And that's what happens to us, dear brethren. We're not real. There's no reality in the souls to submit to the authority. But there was men who stayed in difficult circumstances. And they were men of wealth. Why? Because they submitted to the authority of the kingship, if you might say it, of the kingship of God. And that's the difference. That's the difference.
Is there any difference between the history of Israel and Christianity?
I'm sorry?
The difference between the history of Israel and Christianity? But really a replay, in a sense?
Well, as far as the things that we're talking about, it is common. It is common. These things were written for us. So what you see in Israel taking place, the declension of the people of God, their spiritual, their moral, is seen amongst Christianity nowadays.
I wonder if this matter of the heart, it's really a matter of the heart, the attitude of the heart. It says in Psalm 110, His people shall be willing in the day of His power. That's a work of God. That is a work of God alone. But it's interesting that the problem in Israel was not during just the time of the judges. It was during the time of Moses. Because during the time of Moses, even when they were in the wilderness, even, and I was just looking at this in Psalm 106, when they, as soon as they came out of Egypt, what's one of the first things that happened with the people? They made a molten calf. Mm-hmm. The heart really was not attached to the Lord, to the living God. And then it says they had their god Moloch and their star god Rephaim. This is what they had during the 40 years. Mm-hmm. So during the time when Moses was, as it were, leading the people, their hearts were attached to idols the whole time. And so it was very few of them were really, truly linked to the Lord in genuine faith. And so it really is a problem in our day. I think, like you said, we say we're Christians, we say we love the Lord, but do we have idols attached to our hearts? Are we really attached more to idolatry than we are to the Lord Himself? It's a very great challenge to us in this day of affluence that we live in.
Brother John, as you just mentioned that, I was thinking that during that 40 years in the wilderness, that they had the pillar of the cloud to guide them and fire. They had that visible manifestation of the presence of God. And yet you're saying that there were some who still worship other gods or had other gods before them.
You say some of the great majority.
But not Moses, you know, not Moses.
No, that's the difference even today. You know, Moses, as David, was after God's heart. They were leaders, but they were dependent on God as their leader. They were following God. They weren't following themselves. They were following God. And so they were the perfect example, for instance, with Moses. He was the perfect example for those that he was leading to the wilderness. But they were looking to circumstances. They were looking to Moses. They were not looking to the one that Moses was dependent upon, God, and whither they went.